Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Trewell. My special guest this evening is Jason Andrews, a friend of the show and returning guest. Welcome aboard, Jason.
Thanks for having me back, man. I'm really excited.
Happy to have you. You, like me, were recently at the Strange Realities Conference in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Which is put on by Adam Sane and Surfeil Stevenson. And the guys from Conspira Normal, and I think we can agree, was absolutely awesome.
It's always a great time.
Yes, yes, indeed. This is my second time getting there in person, and it won't be the last. I have to preface by saying I saw all of the presentations, except maybe one, because I just couldn't physically be there with travel and stuff. And everybody really did an excellent job.
Absolutely.
Any particular ones that struck you, like,
oh man,
really kind of special?
I think it's a three-way tie between Ren Collier, which was really, really, really good. Just well thought out, well presented, very scholarly, sort of, but also down to earth. I think that Steven Snyder's was very informative. He packed a lot of information in the time he had, and I need
Agreed.
To get around to seeing if I can find the whole presentation, because I know he got cut off on time. And then of course Nathan Isaac always does a bang up job presenting whatever it is he's presenting, and his Hidden in the Herd presentation was very good.
I couldn't agree more. That was one of the two I was going to mention. The Hidden in the Herd was mind-blowing, and is a totally different view than I'd ever even considered, you know, that had ever entered my mind. Ren was dead on with the way you described him. He can talk about the most esoteric, literally out of this world stuff, and sound like he's an electrician describing how, you know, wiring works. He's so down to earth, and it's very calming. It makes subject matter that might be disturbing perfectly normal. And
yeah,
he just has such a good vibe. It's really nice. And yeah, everything Recluse does is an information download. I mean, that guy must research like some people run marathons, man. The one I was gonna add was Star Vance's hypnotherapy experience. And I went to that and participated fully. And man, that was mind blowing.
I wasn't able to make it for that. We just got out of the hotel late and got there.
9:30 was, you know, kind of early.
It was kind of early.
Yeah. But it's wow. I very rarely have had anything like that kind of an experience, and it was intense, and it's had after effects that are very positive. In the time I've come back, I can only say good things about what you did there.
That's great. I remember your your demeanor, I guess, whenever I arrived and you mentioned it, and I was like, oh wow, you know, it really did have a profound effect on him, because you could
later,
just tell.
Yeah, I have contacted her since, and it's she's the real deal. It's quite something.
Yeah, I'm glad, man. I'm happy for you.
It's literally improved my life in the last couple of weeks. So
that's fantastic.
That's a good
man.
Thing, you know. Let's see. In the month right before last, maybe even week before Strange Realities, you did a rather unique Hellraising Horror Week on your podcast.
Could
you tell the listeners about it? Which his podcast is Paranormal Patio. So check that out. It's excellent.
Oh yeah, please check us out. We're everywhere but Apple. It's a personal decision. No, I wanted to do something totally different this year. And I arrived at the idea of playing a tabletop role-playing game with some of my past guests. And we had a great time. I broke it up across four episodes, around about 40 minutes each or so. And we played Call of Cthulhu, which is, it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons for weirdos. If you don't count the fans of Dungeons and Dragons as weirdos, like the next level of weird, because it's all based on H.P. Lovecraft's writing. I don't typically play games that rely on the Cthulhu mythos so much. I actually have written a lot of original stories. I'm planning on doing another one of these events next year when it warms up a little bit, with some of the same people. And yeah, I prefer to write my own, but this one was one that came across. It was actually sort of a play on Reservoir Dogs, and I thought, man, it would be a lot of fun. So I had Tobias Weiland of the Singular Fordian Society, Steve Berg from High Strangeness and several movies and television shows, who was also the MC at the Strange Realities Conference, which was
And
great
who killed it as the MC there?
every time.
See, great job.
And then Martin Shaw from, I met Martin through Twitter, but he had a YouTube channel called Unexplained Scotland, where he would talk about a weird story from Scotland like every other week or so. And then he had decided he wasn't satisfied with the traction he was getting on YouTube and decided to write a book, which is terrific. Same principle, it's just in written form. But his personality is, it's so funny and charming and pleasant that it translates through his writing as well. And I just ordered his second book, which came out, I believe, earlier this week. I don't have it yet, but it should be here by next week.
I'm sure when you're
Which,
talking strange stories in Scotland, you're not going to run out of material quick.
oh no. He expanded, I think in the second book, he's expanded to just some of his favorite weird stories from all over. So I do have the first chapter he sent to me months ago. And I love his style so much. We have so much in common. Like if we didn't live all these miles and an ocean apart, I think we'd probably be hanging out all the time. I've been accused of being a fanboy for him, and I will admit I absolutely am. I love Martin Shaw. He's awesome. So
Nothing wrong with that.
make sure you look him up on Instagram. His Instagram handle is I turned into a Martin, and
Into a Martin. Okay.
he's big into all the stuff that I'm into, and it worked out that we came across each other on Twitter and hit it off, and we've been friends ever since.
That's the beauty of the internet. And
Yeah.
everybody points out the downsides and social media and the terrible things. And sure, there's plenty. But if you use it right, you can meet people you would never meet in day-to-day life and become
Absolutely.
friends and become real friends, and sometimes do stuff in real life. And even if you only ever see each other virtually, you're still friends, and you
Sure.
still talk and stuff, and it can be a really good thing. And for those who have limited ability to travel, it can be a godsend. Because if you're in a lot of places, I'd say most places, unless there's a UFO club that meets at the library or something, it's hard to find people that don't think, A, that you're completely nuts and it may affect your career and stuff,
Yeah.
and that are going to vibe with you and really get what you're talking about. This is, it's been really used properly. It's great.
Yeah,
And I,
absolutely.
well, I know you, and I
Yeah.
know dozens of other people that I wouldn't know otherwise, and I wouldn't be in Nashville, Tennessee otherwise. And some of the people are in other countries, and you can hang out, and it's really cool.
Yeah, prime example. I flew my buddy Adam Talla and my good friend Adam Talla, who I met at the Strange Realities Conference in person finally after being friends with him for 4 years.
Oh
He
wow, that was your
was,
first time meeting him too?
yeah.
Oh my God. I thought you guys like I thought he lived. Well, no, I guess I didn't.
He lives in
He's in
Utah and I live
Utah,
in
yeah.
Illinois. So, but I, funny, this is a funny story and I always get a good chuckle at it to tell it. So he had just started a YouTube channel shortly after I started my podcast, and it's called The Paranormal Polynesian, and he travels around, goes to weird places and films himself eating and hanging out and exploring and all that good stuff. But when I was getting ready to do the first hair-raising horror week, like back in October 4 years ago, it would have probably been September when I started booking guests for it. he reached out to me on, it was probably also on Twitter. I don't even use Twitter anymore. I'm losing opportunities. But anyway,
I've
so
never,
he,
yeah, been very
no,
active there.
yeah. So I got a message from him saying, "Hey, I started a paranormal YouTube channel." He was like in reply to me looking for people who wanted to be a part of Hair Raising Horror Week. So, we chatted back and forth a couple times, set it up, and I interviewed him, met him for the first time. The thing is that when I had been chatting with him on Twitter, I hadn't been talking to him at all. So whenever he sh calls in for the interview, he had no idea what I was talking about, didn't know what was going on. And I was like, we talked about this, like, you said you were going to talk about this, and this, whatever. And he's like, I just got told by my friend who's been acting as my manager that I had this interview tonight. And I had been catfished
Oh
by his friend.
man.
I'd been talking to her for a couple of weeks about what we were going to talk about, whatever. And so after the interview, finally he's like, I had no idea about any of this. I'm sorry if I sounded really like awkward or whatever. And I was like, what do you mean? And he told me the whole story, and it was really funny. And we still laugh about it to this
It
day. We
sounds
laughed about it in Nashville.
like the most benign catfishing ever.
Absolutely.
I'm
Yeah.
going to
And it
get you
worked
an
out.
interview on this podcast instead of I want you all
Yeah.
your money or something, you know.
Right. No,
And
and it worked out. I love
it
it.
did. It's really cool.
So yeah, I picked him up. He flew in on the Thursday night before and stayed downtown, and he gave me the address for the hotel. I get to Nashville. First thing I do is I'm going to go pick Adam up, and so I pull up and I see him standing outside the hotel, and I'm like, okay, I've got to turn around because you can't park on this street, right? And I text him. I'm like, I'm turning around. I was stopped at a stoplight before anyone gets on me. I was not texting and driving. And before I know it, he comes running across the street and then just jumps in my car. And so we drove through downtown Nashville, and then we went book shopping. Then we went, checked in at our hotel, went to Strange Realities, and it was a great time. I think he had a really good time, and I was glad to finally meet him there. And then I finally got to meet you. I
Yeah.
finally got to meet Tobias in person. And I met a lot of great people this time that I didn't know existed. So it was a really, really good event.
And it was amazing to me how meeting people in person, it's different, but it's not that different. It's like we already knew each other, you know,
Right,
and
right.
it kicks it up a notch, and it's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've sometimes described it like the difference between watching the Tonight Show and being a member of the audience, and then Jimmy Fallon and Questlove ask if you want to go to dinner after the show. Yeah, I
Yeah.
do. You know, it's
Absolutely.
cool as hell. You know, so it's
Yeah.
a really nice experience.
Yeah. I usually just get, you're taller than I thought you were. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
I wasn't gonna bring that up, but dude, the photos that look that we did we took. So I haven't posted them because I'm not visible at them.
Oh.
I think like. Maybe from the chin up, I'm visible.
Bummer.
What if you don't mind asking, what are you like 6'7"?
No, I'm only 6'4".
Okay, I am
Only.
5'10", the height of an average man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 5'16".
Yes,
Yeah,
but yeah, it was great, great time, great experience.
absolutely.
Did you want to mention more like just how the table game played out?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So it's based on Reservoir Dogs. Everybody is a criminal. They have absconded with a hoard of treasure, and they have to wait in this warehouse until midnight, the night that they arrive. And it's not long before things take a turn. I don't want to spoil a whole lot, but nothing that they think is going on is really going on. There's a big twist at the end, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think it was a lot of fun. We'd all
Sounds
had
like
a
it.
great time. So
And no spoilers needed. I mean, if you set Reservoir Dogs in the Lovecraft universe, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be cool. You know, just take it
it was
from
cool.
there, you know.
It was a cool idea. I originally had hoped that they would turn on one another more, and there would be like, it's not a game where you like really win or lose. Like, yeah, people that don't play tabletop role playing games think that it's just like playing a video game or something. And in a lot of ways, it is. But there's no like winner usually. Like, everybody just tries to survive so they can play the next time or what have you. No one wins at Dungeons and Dragons. It's over and there's a winner. No, it's not how it works. And Call
It's
of
an
Cthulhu is,
experience.
yeah,
Yeah. I
Call of
did some
Cthulhu is the
D&D in
same
high
way.
school. Yeah.
It's kind of, I more liken it to almost being in a totally improv play where the lines are made up as you go and the situations are pre-planned, but you don't know what they are as a player until they happen. And then the success or failure of every action that you try to do is determined by rolling dice, you know? So even if you have a plan and you know what you want to do, the dice may not accept that plan, and you may fail. Anyway, I'd hope there'd be a clear-cut winner, and my original idea was to have like a giveaway. Like, everybody who is subscribed or who's on Patreon or who's watching the premiere, whatever, I'll put you in groups and we'll spin a wheel, and this group gets this player and this group gets this player, and at the end, if your player wins, then I'll spin a wheel for everybody in the group and you win a prize pack, some t-shirts and stickers and that type of thing. But they didn't turn on one another, so I didn't get that opportunity. And so maybe on the next one. Yeah.
That sounds like a fascinating concept, though. It gives you somebody to root for, and makes
That
it,
was the idea.
yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Speaking, we were just mentioning where you're from. You're from an area called Little Egypt. Is that correct?
I'm close to it. I
Okay.
don't consider where I am all, like, I'm on the bubble. You know what I mean? I'm
Sure.
45 minutes ish north. Little Egypt is what is locally sort of known in Southern Illinois area, the Shawnee Forest area. There's neat little town names like Cairo down there. It really is sort of a play on Egypt because of the rivers and the layout of the land where things have, sort of popped up over time. There's not much there anymore, unfortunately, when the river industry sort of, no pun intended, dried up.
I get your meaning. The traffic
the
on the
economy
rivers. Yes,
washed
yes.
away.
Oh,
And yeah, it's really not a great place. The towns aren't real great anymore. I mean, they all have their little charms mostly. Cairo is kind of a dangerous place really anymore. But the forest areas, it's a national forest, the Shawnee National Forest. Beautiful. The geology there is different than everywhere else in the state, and it feels like you're in another country. Huge rock formations, like you would imagine finding, in South America, waterfalls, just way more like around me, right? Like, not right now, but most of the time it's just corn. It's flat and there's corn, but you go down there and there's these giant rocks and just beautiful.
Is Little Egypt in the northwestern corner of Illinois?
No, it's the whole like bottom third of the state.
Oh, it's the bottom of, the
Yeah,
southern
yeah.
part. Okay. Because it sounds like the Driftless region in Wisconsin, which also extends into Minnesota and part of Iowa and part of Illinois. And it's similar from being different to totally different from the state, having a lot of little ghost towns that
Yeah.
used to be thriving communities, and the forest has almost taken them back.
Yep, that's
And
exactly how it is.
wow, that's an interesting phenomenon. And
Yeah.
both are places where a lot of strange things happen, much
Oh,
more so
absolutely.
than, yeah, they're kind of, I cut to the chase, they're window areas, I mean, in the Keel sense.
I had last
Yes.
season on my show, I had talked with Sarah and AJ about this book called Weird Egypt, The Case for Supernatural Geology, a guide to the weird, the strange, and the supernatural in Southern Illinois by a man named Jim Young. This is the rarest book that I own, and it has no business being that rare. It's not like it's coveted by, millions of people or anything
Not
like that. Most
300
people don't
years
even know it
old,
exists.
yeah.
No, it was in the last 20 years, I think. 2009 is when the second edition came out, which is what I have. The first edition was 2006. I think he passed away in 2008, and his wife put out a second printing, which is where this came from. He's from the area. He's from a little town called Carbondale. Well, it's not little.
Oh,
It's
Carbondale,
it's
yeah.
fairly good size college town. It's on the more so almost middle of the road of what I would consider Little Egypt. And it's just a wonderful book about all the strange things that happened down there. They broke up into the counties, which is convenient for researching. He
Yes.
was a writer and really well versed in geology, and he had a lot of people that were professors at SIU, Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, that he had good friendships with and helped him like figure things out. There's a lot in here about tectonic strain theory, or where a lot of these weird things seem to manifest in regions of high seismic activity. And I know for a fact that I think it's changed Sarah and AJ's perspective on a lot of things, and it's definitely been sort of eye-opening to me too, because he points it out, like, here's something weird that happened, and this is by this fault line. And then
Very interesting.
there may be another story where it's like, this is a weird place and it's not by a fault line, but it's weird anyway. So it's a really interesting book. I wish I could tell you to go pick one up for everyone listening at home, but good luck. It took me like 2 years to get a copy,
Yeah, I was gonna
so
ask for a link and then it dawned on me. No, it's really hard to find. So yeah.
yeah.
Just
I
if you
what I did
can,
was
that'd be
I put a thing on Amazon so that if one came up, it would send me a message. And then it came up at like 2:30 in the morning on like a Thursday or something. And I woke up, and it was actually really weird because I had had a message on Facebook chat from Sarah or AJ, one of the two. And I also had that notification from Amazon. And I was like, oh, there's another copy. Like, there's another copy that's out there. And so I went on Amazon first and ordered the book. And then I came back to the message from, I think it was from Sarah. And it wasn't even about the book, but that message was what woke me up. So it was like, it was just kind of meant to be. Like, she knew I was looking for one. And at the same time as one became available, she messaged me about something totally different, which was really, really interesting. It was
Funny
fate.
how that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Speaking of AJ Lund and Sarah, his wife, and I don't want to massacre her last name.
Yeah.
Parasordia. I'm on it, you're on it. Do you want to elaborate a little bit? Or
I
I
wish I
can.
could. It kind of came to be at the in the off season of my show. So really, I have done absolutely nothing other than say, yeah, you can use whatever information, whatever content that I've created on the project, no problem. I don't care. Use whatever you want. That's been my total extent of involvement, because I haven't put, other than Hair Raising Horror Week, I haven't put out anything since they started. And I'm not even sure if they're using the Hair Raising Horror Week episodes yet or not, but
It's still
you
in
know.
the unfolding
Oh yeah.
stage, but
Sure.
it is unfolding,
Yeah.
and I'm very hopeful about this, that it should be a superior platform. No offense to anyone, but hopefully a superior platform to Patreon, and much more focused on content providers like you and I. I haven't done anything other than send AJ, downloads of my show, and he's handled all the tech aspects, which has been a godsend, and set up the platform. I don't know what to what extent the public's able to access it yet.
I'm not
I'm
sure.
not exactly I'm not sure, and I really okay. I talked with him on the Liminal Lodge chat last night and somehow didn't remember to bring that up. Maybe I should ask him how it's going. Anyway, but well, once Nathan starts talking, it's, it's kind of engrossing,
Yeah. Last night's was pretty wild too,
Oh
so.
yeah, that was totally worth it. Just to go back a little bit, I brought up the Little Egypt thing because I thought you lived right there.
It's close. I mean, we could go there and, in an afternoon, we could go all the way to the bottom of the state from where I am in like 3 hours. So,
Wow. Were you always interested in this shit? Pardon me. But I mean, hey,
it's your show,
always.
man. Say whatever you
Yeah.
want.
Oh, I don't really censor a whole hell of a lot. But were you always into this stuff, or was there a formative event, or how did you get
So,
here?
yeah. I wish I had a really cool story, like an alien came to me when I was in my crib, or I saw the ghost of a great great grandparent that I didn't know until I saw a picture later on in my life or something like that. But man, I think I really have narrowed it down. I'm pretty sure it was the real Ghostbusters cartoon that came out. I was born in 1985. I believe the show started in like 87 or something like that, and I remember it vividly as a little toddler. And I remember loving it. And to this day, I still really love the cartoon. It's great. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. So I call myself like a member of the Ghostbusters generation because throughout basically all of my consciousness, I've had Ghostbusters there for me. And yeah, and things got really wild in the 90s with a lot of the alien and UFO pop culture stuff. And I was there for all of that. And I started having experiences the older I got, but nothing when I was a child that drove me into it. I really think it was just pop culture, and I'm glad because I wouldn't have the interest. I don't know what I'd be doing right now.
Same here. Same here. I'm 52, so I'm somewhat older than you, but not that much.
Not that
And
much.
so I tell myself. I grew up on In Search Of with Leonard
Oh
Nimoy,
yeah, sure.
and that was fantastic. And then I got into The X-Files and Unsolved Mysteries, and I love the fiction. But I really love the fact, or at least the nonfiction, the investigatory, angle, and always wanted to do that. And went different directions in my life where I thought I'd pick up secret information and never got anything. I did get nicknamed the Fox Mulder of the Sheriff's Department,
Nice.
but
That's a
which
good
was
title. I
totally
take it.
appropriate.
Yeah.
In the entire 14 years, I'm no longer there. I haven't been there for over a decade, but in that entire 14 years, got one UFO call and
Bummer.
like begged to go to it. And was told, no, that's another jurisdiction. You go do something else. And now the one UFO call was a light in the sky, and I was working at the airport. So, it wasn't gonna be, maybe what I was expecting, but it just
Still.
nothing ever came up. Yeah. Walked around, I don't know, people go to these haunted jail things. I spent several years working in a jail and never saw the faintest hint of anything paranormal at all. I
Yeah.
think there is a reason for that, though. It was crowded, and things like that don't show up in crowds. Individuals can see extraordinary phenomena. Couples, small groups, but you don't get like a big herd of people and then something usually with
Right.
the
Yeah, no, I mean, it does happen, but it's really rare that,
really
you know.
rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's usually UFOs, like ghosts, Bigfoot, stuff like that. I can't think of a time when they've been seen like in public. And so if you have a whole bunch of observers, it kind of wipes it out.
There's several like just oddities over the years. Adam Tala told me about a giant flying jellyfish over Las Vegas that he saw when he was there, and then he sent me the news like coverage of it.
Yes. I do remember that one. Yeah. And
Yeah.
so There are exceptions, but
there are exceptions, but they are
exceptional.
They are rare. Very rare.
Let's see. And so you go around and you do active investigations and
not a lot. I've spent most of that time focused on one project, and it haunts me to this day, not for the reasons that people want it to, just that I still have to finish this documentary that I've been working on for all of these years. So I've a lot of boots on ground for that. And I had one thing left to film. I was going to reshoot some scenes at my own home. And the day I had scheduled, with people coming over for it and all that, everything was set up. We had a death in the family morning. So it was like, man, and now it's pretty chilly. I think it's going to have to wait, or we're going to have to do a change of venue, and do something totally different. But, that's been the largest boots on the ground type of thing. And then, you know, on occasion, you know, I go somewhere, I had a work trip to Virginia the first week of October, and on the way back, I had convinced my boss to let me go to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, because it's on the way. So got to visit Point Pleasant for the first time. Was great, and went out to the TNT domes, the igloos, and it was awesome. Really awesome. It was, you know, on my bucket list, so I've checked that off now. And
did you get a vibe there?
Not really, man. It was really
just the Mothman, or they just
no, it was really peaceful, man. It was coming in the early afternoon, the traffic was horrendous because, like, the main thoroughfare through the town is a, you know, it's a state highway, I think, huge. And then when sundown came around, it was a ghost town everywhere, there was no one anywhere. It was great. After everybody went home or got to where they were going, went over to like the downtown Main Street area, did the riverfront walk and all that stuff, and had a great time. Absolutely recommend it. Just plan on doing most of your activities in the evening, and you'll be much, much more rewarded than if you try to do it all in the daytime.
Of course, the limiting factor may be how many people want to go to the TNT district after dark.
Oh, that's fair. There were a couple of cars out there, but it's such a vast area that we never saw any other people. We just saw other vehicles. I went into six or seven of the igloos while I was there. So
I have to say that that's pretty bold. And I'll be honest, my concern wouldn't be walking into the igloo with a flashlight.
I didn't have a flashlight, man.
Oh, you just walked in?
Yes, in the dark.
Well, if I'm not worried about the Mothman's red eyes showing up, I'm worried about somebody hitting up a meth pipe. I'm interrupting them, you know.
Don't think it didn't cross my mind, especially out there. It's so remote. And or just people up to no good. You know, not necessarily just meth, but definitely.
That's only one example.
Or, you know, a plethora of other substances that will drive a person insane, you know.
And just interrupting any transactions that might be going on. I don't want to be the guy that shows up.
I worry a lot less after the sort of situations I found myself in filming the documentary, because I was all alone for miles and miles and miles with no cell phone signal, in the middle of absolute nowhere. And if something would have happened, and I constantly thought something could happen, you know what I mean? I don't even know where the nearest hospital is to a lot of these places. So I really would have been on my own completely. And, you know, if it would have been something serious, then, you know, I'd be dead. On top of that, if I would have ran into some, you know, no good thugs or something out there and they wanted to make me disappear, it would be absolutely no problem, because there's nothing around. So I had a couple of situations that I haven't talked about publicly, and I probably won't. Sorry to disappoint you.
No, I wouldn't try to intrude like that. No spontaneous confessions going
No.
here.
But because of those, I fear people a little bit less. Like, I don't have that worry hanging over me. I mean, I realize that it's possible something terrible could happen. I'm not oblivious to that. Just that fear of that thing doesn't bother me as much because I had a couple of adventures.
Hey, that well, that's good. That's good. It all worked out, especially. Let's see. And I'm just gonna kind of jump around here. It's been in the news, not as much lately this moment, but what are your views on the UFO disclosure thing that's going on?
Oh man, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about it, Vincent. I don't like it. I think it's leading to further money going into the military industrial complex that is unnecessary. I don't think they'll ever put out information that's both true and warranted. I think it will be one or the other. And if it's warranted, it won't be something that's important. It'll be some subtle thing that people have already suspected for, 100, 200 years. I really do. It's all the time. Every time I listen to one of these things, it's about threats to our airspace, threats to our national airspace. And it's not. These things have been here forever. And if they were a threat to us, we would already have succumbed. I'm sorry. There's nothing
Oh,
you can say
yes.
to convince me that we're in danger of these UFOs. And it's all. It goes a little back and forth on are they alien creatures from outside of Earth, but in our dimension, or you have every once in a while some wackadoodle like myself will speak up and say, well, they might not be from our dimension. They might be, from something we can't comprehend. They're not really with us. They're with us, but not with us at the same time. And unfortunately, they pick people for that that is going to severely be a detriment to the movement because like Tom DeLonge has lined himself up in this to the Stars Academy with a bunch of people who have spent decades lying about UFOs and now they're the ones saying, well, they're not physical beings. That's it's something way beyond that. And while I agree with the message, I hate that it's coming from him. And I mean, I like Tom DeLonge, but I
Well, I
don't
just
agree
think he
with
was
what he's been doing.
manipulated completely. I think he
100
was.
percent.
You
100
know, he's
percent.
this famous and rich rock star, and
Yes.
he's into this, at least to some extent, very seriously, and people saw dollar signs and saw influence and saw
Yes.
publicity and said, we can tell you exactly what you want to hear. And hello, Lou Elizondo, who will never be a
Yes.
guest, but yeah.
Yes.
And that, I believe, was a total scam. I think under this is just my opinion off the cuff, but I think under the umbrella of the UFO phenomena, there are multiple things. There are, and I will not discount the possibility of some sort of physical craft and alien bodies. I'm not putting any money behind that, but I don't just totally discount that. But that's not what most people experience. What
Right.
most people experience in the UFO experience, even when they see fixed craft, is a couple different. This is very often very personal, often very directed at one individual. And that's a different matter than this other thing.
Yes.
And sometimes I believe it performs for us. And we see a presentation by a non-human intelligence. There was a in the 90s, UFOs over Mexico City, and they were seen by, I would say, millions of people,
Sure.
at least hundreds of thousands. And they're openly filmed. And you can see them. And I don't believe that was our or any other country's Air Force just strutting its stuff for the Mexicans. I don't think that's what
No.
happened.
No.
But it was somebody's presentation. That was meant to be seen.
Sure.
And other times, I think they are accidentally seen. And though you have those one-offs where somebody's going by and what the hell is that? And it's like a fixed craft. I think there's several things under the UFO umbrella, and there's so much manipulation. I have not given up hope that the elected officials, and maybe it's because of the caliber of some of these people that are senior and very prominent leaders in their parties, both parties have demanded answers. Can't totally write off that they might force the military to tell what it knows. But, and I know people have, yes, it has been said repeatedly. It's been dangled several times since the 40s. But did you ever watch the show Millennium? Does that ring any bells? A
I
spinoff of the
haven't.
X-Files?
I might have talked to you about this. I talked to
Okay.
someone about this, and I still haven't
Okay.
watched it yet.
It's a good show. I love it. I was there at the right time and saw every episode, have it all on DVD. Oh God, that guy, I'm trying to remember the main character's name, Frank Black, but he's played by the old guy that was in Alien versus Predator. That's yes, that guy.
Okay. Okay.
And he's a member of a secret organization called the Millennium Group that solves crimes. And in the first season, they look to be one thing, but by the third season, they're something totally different. And in that group, I'm getting to something here other than just rant. There's a point. In the Millennium Group, there's two factions, the Owls and the Roosters. The Roosters think a big change is happening in the world. We need to tell the people everything. We need to put the truth out there. And the Owls feel, no, it's still midnight. Just need to know. The people don't need to know anything right now. I think there's an Owls and Roosters thing going on within the military industrial complex. And it may be kind of a struggle between the Navy and the Air Force, and maybe even smaller factions within factions. And I think there, now, possibly, there may be some people that want to put out, hey, no, we have fixed craft. You can come see them. Here they are. And here are the bodies. And there are other people who don't want that to happen at all. The push-pull seems to me to be one explanation for why we've heard this before, other than just, total con game and total get us some more money, which is also possible. But I just won't rule out that possibility completely. While
I
at the
won't
same
rule
time,
out any possibility. I
yeah,
just,
there you go, And
yeah.
even ancient stuff. I mean, if they had craft that was prehistoric to us, but it landed here millennia ago, many millennia ago, it would still be something. It would still be something fascinating. But that's not what most people experience when they have a UFO experience.
Right. And
And
I
I
also
think there's
think
room
there's
for all. Go ahead.
I think that there is a very likely possibility that if they were to disclose that these things have been here for way longer than what we have a conception of history for, that it will upset a lot of the major religions of the world, who will then fight back and say, well, this discredits everything that we've been talking about for hundreds of years. And then we have a battle there because the government doesn't want to fight religion, and it's not just the US government. There's a lot of governments that are in that position, and I think that would inhibit them from being able to disclose, well, yeah, we found this craft, but we've been able to date it back to before dinosaurs existed or whatever. And on top of that, it may have come from the primary civilization that existed here on this planet before everything that we've been teaching you is true. And it would upset a lot of things, and I hold out hope for that possibility, that we're not the first greatest civilization. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I think it would be terrific to find proof that we haven't, we haven't been riding as high as we think we have.
If this is the apex, good Lord.
I know. Just people sitting around talking on computers with each other. Meanwhile,
No,
people
this
are
is the best part
starving.
of the apex. Everything else is worse.
But I'm with you. I won't totally discount any possibility because the chances of anything happening are never zero. I don't, I'm pessimistic with our government.
Oh yes, exactly. I don't expect miracles. The fact that some of the people, and particularly on the Democratic side, Charles Schumer from New York, who's the leader of the Senate majority, and Marco Rubio from Florida, who is, former and probably future presidential candidate. I mean, these are pretty serious people to be putting their name on "We demand to know the information"
I
and
think it's all dog and
mentioning,
pony show.
it just, these are not, there's always some flake Congress people that got elected somehow and are interested in demanding answers, but these are leadership people. And
That's why I think it's all part of the plan. There's especially Rubio. I just don't trust him. I don't like him and I don't trust him.
I
I'll
wasn't
call him
going to
out. I don't
comment
care.
on either one of those guys, but yes, and you make a very good counterpoint that if it may be all just manipulation and keep the money coming and make sure there's plenty for all the wars that we are and could be involved in, and I get that too.
We had
I
to
guess
announce the
it.
Space Force before we started talking about disclosing
Oh
this stuff in
yes.
Congress. So that's really the backbone of my argument.
Yes, that's true too, and that's, we'll see how it plays out,
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
whatever else happens, it will be fascinating to see what goes down, I just wanted to mention very briefly, have you ever had a UFO experience?
Yeah, I've had three. I've had
No,
three.
please. Do you
Yeah.
mind talking about it?
Oh, sure. The first one, I was just driving down a local highway here, between two towns, not far from where I live now. And there's a tree line that's like, I don't know, 600 and some yards away from the road, and I see a light go up out of this tree line to the sky very fast. It was white, and then it was yellow, and then it was red, and then it was gone. Like it just flashed these colors as it was moving incredibly fast, and then it was gone. The second one
So can I
bothers
just
me.
ask
No, sure,
you,
go ahead. Go
was it a
ahead.
point of light or was it like a ball of light?
It was a ball of light.
And it's impossible to judge the
Yeah, I have
distance.
no idea. Yeah,
Yeah,
or
I was
the
going to say
speed.
how big it was, but yeah. But it was
Yeah, I
big
have
enough
no
to see that
idea.
it was a ball and not like just a pinprick of light.
Yeah, absolutely. I
Okay.
mean, it wasn't
Wow.
humongous or anything, but it was very visible. It was dusk too. It wasn't dark, so it was bright enough that I could see it without being in total dark. So,
Interesting.
the second one bothers me because I have a memory distinctly different of it than my notes that I have recently recovered, uncovered, because as I remember it, I'm driving to work, working the overnight shift. So it's approximately 9 o'clock in the evening. And as I come into the town that I work in, probably 8 blocks or so from the edge of town, I see this bright red, enormous light hovering over the road. Massive. And I think my eyes are catching a glare or something. So I was even driving past my turn off to go to work because I wanted to see what this thing was. And as I got there, it was just gone. And it was like I didn't see it leave. I didn't really see it move, but it ceased to be there. And at some point, it was gone. And I do not recall that change happening from being here to not being here. So immediately turned around, went to work, sat in the parking lot. And that town has a ridiculous Facebook group where they all bash one another and complain about everything. But on occasion, it has been fruitful for information. So I posted, did anybody else see this this light over Main Street, and no one else did. A few people were like, maybe you saw a drone flying across the road or something like that. This thing was, Vincent, this thing was massive. It was
You
like,
would not confuse that with a drone.
absolutely not. It was the entire width of the road plus some. And it's, I think, three lanes in that area where it was at. So huge,
Wow.
absolutely huge. They're like the size of a house,
Wow.
like just hanging out.
Do you know, was
So
there
I'm,
any other traffic?
oh yeah, there was some traffic. I mean, light.
So some other people should have
Yeah,
seen.
but no one said anything. But you know, who knows whether they are even, you know, seeing the message that I put, or whether they were texting and driving and didn't even notice this giant floating red light. So that is my memory, as clear as I can tell you of what happened. However, I was talking to someone about this recently, and I went back to find that post to see if anybody else had replied about it. And I had been able to actually find it. And in my post, I said it was a white light, but I vividly remember it being a red light.
Wow.
So I don't know. It was
Why
weird.
would you
It bothers me a
contradict
little bit.
yourself is a good
I have
question
no
to ask.
idea. Just to this day, I can remember it as a giant red light.
That I can see why that would be a bit disturbing.
It bothers me a little. Like, I don't know. I don't like not knowing for sure.
Did anything, was anything else going on in your life at that point?
Oh, probably. God, man. It's a roller coaster. I have no idea. I have no idea.
No
It's a
sweat.
good chance. There's a real good chance something else was going on. So yeah, that's the second one. And then the third one was 2 years ago, last August. My friend Keith, who is now going to be my co-host for the new season of my podcast, he and I went out to this cemetery that has a reputation for having balls of light, free-floating balls of light that are visible to the naked eye, and also apparently. There is a large female Bigfoot in the area, locally known as the She-Ape, according to one report that I uncovered online. It's
Wow.
really
Okay.
close to my house, and so I
So
had
it's
never heard of
covering.
this place. Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, you know, 25 minutes, probably 20. So I was like, Keith told me about it, and he said those balls of light are real. I'm friends with a lot of people who said that they have seen them, the people that I believe. And I was like, well, I've never even heard of this. We should go. So, yeah, it was an August afternoon, evening. We decided to go out there. We were out there for several hours. But the first, this, I'm going to expand on just the UFO. Like, there's more that happened in this one event that it sounds crazy. And I wouldn't believe it if someone else told me, but it's what really happened.
I ask her,
So.
don't hold back, Matt. I mean, as much as you feel comfortable with, let it
Oh,
rip,
yeah.
man. This is the weird part.
So. We get there, and in the very back of the cemetery, there's a black ring of fungus that is approximately 8 feet in diameter, almost a perfect circle, but not quite. And immediately, I'm like, oh, that's a fucking fairy ring, Keith. Like, what's going on here? So, I did a little candle magic ceremony inside of this circle because I'm like, I can't not. It has presented itself to me. I have to do this. And so we did that. Nothing happened. This was still daylight, or you know, almost dusk. It was getting close. So being in August here where I live, it was probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock or so. When it started to get dark, we got the audio recorder out, and we had a couple of other tools that I just grabbed and took out there on a whim, not knowing what I was getting myself into. I'm not really a ghost guy. Haunted cemeteries are not typically my thing. I think we've talked about this before.
Yes.
But being as there was also a Bigfoot story about this place, it was close to a Bigfoot encounter that Keith himself had had
Oh, wow.
about 5 miles away. And the balls of light thing. I was like, well, yeah, I'm on
Oh,
board.
yeah, you
So
got to have that.
I, right. Absolutely. That's the type of thing
And
I
you
will
have a
go to.
fairy ring, so I mean,
Yeah, which was unexpected. A pleasant surprise.
we're checking all the
Yeah.
boxes.
So as darkness rolled around, we started hearing these crashes in the woods that surrounds the cemetery between the cemetery and a river. And they were big. They were big noises. It sounded like what I would imagine an elephant falling out of a tree would sound like. They were huge. But we couldn't see any disturbance. Like it was dark at this point, you know, we had a one flashlight and we're like, that's really unsettling. And Keith, who had had a Bigfoot encounter, a very close Bigfoot encounter, was visibly shaken,
Oh,
visibly
yeah.
shaken. And his eyes were large and his skin was white. And we hung out there and listened and listened and listened. And I just happened to glance out to the other end of the cemetery where my car is parked. And I say cemetery, this is like in the middle of nowhere. There's not a parking lot, it's on a dirt road. There's a like a maybe what you would consider one parking space, and it's really just the entrance to the cemetery, like the overhead gate and everything. So I look down at my car and I see this yellow ball of light along the road, just slowly bouncing, maybe a span of a foot and a half up and down, moving towards my car. And I immediately thought, Keith, someone is going to my car, and we're about 150 yards away or so. Like, we got to get to my car. It looked like someone had a really old cheap flashlight and it was pointed at us, but they were moving sideways. And so we sprinted to my car. And before we got there, the light was gone. Got down to the car, looked down the road, no one around. If someone would have hid off of the road to the side, we would have heard, because the brush and the trees and everything, like there was no hiding out there. So this is when I started to kind of realize that something wants us to get away from that side of the cemetery. It's like the big sounds are trying to scare us, maybe to run us off. And then there's a light moving towards my car that's going to pull us away. So I told Keith, I said, we have to go back. We absolutely have to go back to that other end. I don't feel like this night's over. And we get down there, and then we start hearing this really heavy breathing in the tree line, like around, like just on the edge of the cemetery. We couldn't see anything, but it was just a really deep, big breathing. Not threatening so much, but it was interesting, especially considering the Bigfoot stories. As this is happening, Keith is becoming more and more shaken, and I decide, let's just pivot. And we're in a cemetery that has ghost stories about it. I will play Hell on the Wabash, a Civil War song, being as we live really close to the Wabash River. There are Civil War graves in the cemetery. Let's pivot. Let's just do a ghost thing for a minute. And I play it on my phone, and we have an audio recorder going. And we're listening to the song, looking around, not noticing anything. And then all of a sudden, there's a UFO in the sky. This white light, pure white, moving much faster than an airplane overhead from the edge of the direction of the cemetery that we're in towards the road again. So there's like the third thing that's like trying to draw our attention away from the sounds and the river and all this stuff. And I immediately switch my phone over to my flight traffic app that I have, because I always have it on my phone. If I see a light in the sky, I want to know if it's an airplane or not. And it every time but one, it has been, this being the time. And there were no planes in the area. There was one that was about 45, 50 miles away to the northwest, and it was coming the opposite direction as the one that we were visibly seeing. But as I'm looking at the map on my phone, Keith goes, "Oh, it flashed." And then less than a second later says, "Oh, it's gone." And I look up and sure enough, it's gone. And should not have been able to fly out of our field of vision on a clear night that quickly. I have no other explanation for it. It's unidentified and it was flying, and it was definitely some sort of object, because that's what it was. We saw it, you know, with our naked eye.
Oh yes.
Didn't think
And
to try to
it
record
wasn't
it
just
because it's caught up in the moment.
a this is not just a dot of light. This is a object.
It seemed to be bigger than a dot of light. I mean, it's high enough that I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
Like
you
I didn't
cannot
see, you know,
just
a
judge the
shape. I just
size.
saw the light. But I don't think it was like, I don't know what could have just shown a light up in the sky like that. It didn't flash until it disappeared. There were no other colors that would be present on an airplane. There was no sound accompanying it like a helicopter. Yeah, I
Which
don't know,
probably
man.
would have been on your tracker, right? Or
An airplane would have been. I don't know if it tracks helicopter. We don't have a lot of helicopter traffic here in the Corn.
yeah,
On
fair enough.
occasion, there's an air evac life helicopter going to a hospital or from a hospital, but it wasn't going the direction of our hospital. So, I mean, there's also that.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, so that was the third UFO experience, and that one was a wild night. Just all those things happening at once in a span of 4 hours or so.
That's incredible. And
Yeah.
that reminds me right off of Joshua Cutchin's book, his most recent book, Ecology of Souls, and connecting UFOs and having something to do with the dead and maybe being somehow souls of the dead or vehicles of souls or something.
Yeah.
There are many possibilities.
Yeah.
But wow, that is really fascinating.
Yeah. And I did have I had later on, I went back with another friend of mine who is a flesh and blood Bigfooter, doesn't really care about anything else, paranormal or occult or esoteric. Just he's an outdoors guy. He likes the idea that there might be Bigfoot, right? It was January. And then it snowed, and I thought this is perfect because if there's any other sounds, the snow is going to kind of isolate, and there won't be, no bugs or anything like that going off. And we went out there, had the recorder going, experienced absolutely nothing. And I got to tell you, I got home and I was a little disappointed. And I plugged the recorder in, started listening to the recorder, and there were a lot of weird things that happened that night. And I
Wow.
won't cover them all here. I do have an episode of my podcast that plays the audio from this recorder, and I believe it's called My Most Recent Brush with High Strangeness on Paranormal Patio. So look it up.
I
But
will definitely have to.
I will give the abridged ending of the story. There was a lot of whistling on this recorder, and not just like wind whistling or breathing whistling. It was melodic and you can hear it. So it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting out here in my studio all alone, and I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh wow. And there are a couple other things on there that happened, and then I was like, all right, like that's a lot. And I look out the window of my studio, and my neighbor has a garage right across from my studio, basically, like, I don't know, a two-lane road away. And I saw something like grayscale, black and white, old television footage. It looked like a little kid ran in front of his garage doors. And I was like, man, my mind is trying to make sense of all this, and it's too
Wow,
much right
that's a lot
now.
to take in all at once.
I'm on overload, so I'm just gonna lock this all up. I'll finish it tomorrow and I'll go inside. And so I'm locking the door of my studio, and I hear that whistling outside to the northeast of my property, which is there's like a backhoe operator who has a giant garage and like rock piles and things over there. And it was coming from over there, and I looked around and I didn't see a soul. And where I live in this little village in the middle of nowhere, and I am the youngest person here, youngest adult here, I think, at 38 years old. Everyone is in bed with the doors locked by 8:30 is my point. And I'm generalizing, of course,
Yes.
but I don't ever suspect to hear my neighbors outside at 1 o'clock in the morning, let alone whistling a tune. And so I looked around, did not see a soul. And that's why I got kind of creeped out, because I'd been listening to whistling from the cemetery, and then I'm hearing it outside, and I'm like, my brain just can't handle this. So I walk, my studio is on the other side of my garage. So like my garage is between my house and my studio, and I typically go through my garage to go back into the house. They're all separate buildings, but just it's a good path for me. So
Yes.
I go through my garage and I open the back garage door, and I hear the whistling now to the southeast in the woods. And I stopped in my tracks, and I was like, I'm gonna whistle back. So I whistled back,
Oh, boy.
and it whistled back at me. And this went on for about 5 minutes. And I even recorded part of it, and I was on an Instagram chat, and it's gone. It's lost in time. But this went on for 5 minutes or so, and then I just said, "Good night, I'm going to bed," and I went inside the house. For about 3 days, when I was outside at night, this happened, and then it just stopped. Never heard anything in the house, never saw anything other than the one little flash of what looked like a little kid running across the garage next door. Never felt threatened by it, but it was the night of the second visit to that place where all that weird stuff happened. So pretty
That is
wild.
fascinating. And just so we're clear, when you were in the cemetery physically, you didn't hear the whistling. Okay. But when you play the recording, you hear it, and then you hear it several times.
So the
Wow.
first time that it shows up, we heard my friend and I that were there, we heard what sounded like a coyote yelp, maybe, or maybe a dog. And you can even hear us talking about it on the recorder. I said, "What's that?" And he says, "I don't know, maybe it was a coyote." But what we heard there was not melodic whistling
Oh
that is
no, it
present on
was
the
total,
recorder.
you'd notice a total difference, yeah.
Yes. And I mean, we even said, yeah, it sounded like a coyote. And but when you're listening to it, it's not. It's a tune being whistled. And then that whistling happens multiple times. And then it says my name.
It says your name.
Yes,
Okay.
it did. I
Hey,
mean, the recordings are all there. I
give
didn't
us the
edit
name
them.
of
I
the
mean,
episode again, because I've got to hear this for
yeah,
myself.
it's my most recent brush with high strangeness. And like I said, all of the recordings are there. I didn't really do a whole lot to them. Just kind of leveled them the way that I would level anything else, audio editing wise. I didn't add a bunch of filters or anything
Oh,
like that. I
no.
just isolated it as best as I could, and I play each one of them multiple times, so you get more than one chance of listening to it. But it was wild, absolutely wild. And it was so
That
weird that
is.
we didn't have anything happen to us while we were there, and that we didn't even feel like,
We just kind of went out and stood around for a while and then went home.
in the snow and in the cold, like we had our Carhartt bibs and jackets on, and it was cold and snowy, but nothing happened. And then I got home disappointed and started playing it, and sure enough, man, it
Wow.
was a wild night.
That is awesome. That is
And the friend
awesome.
wanted nothing to do with these recordings. Like, he was only there for the Bigfoot. He didn't care that there were the possibility of ghosts whistling at us, and
Which
he
kind of
didn't
begs the
even listen to him.
question. I won't get into trashing the flesh and blood stuff, but it does kind of beg the question, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. That's
And
it's
if
too many different things in one spot.
an enormous ape man could live some places, absolutely. Undiscovered could happen. But it can't live in Southern Illinois, man. I mean, you're gonna find one. You know, somebody's gonna shoot one, capture one,
Man,
one's
you would
gonna get hit
think.
by a car, you
I mean,
know.
here especially, but when you get down to the Shawnee Forest, there's places I've been in the Shawnee Forest where if I didn't have a GPS, I wouldn't know where to go. I mean, it's really a different world down there. But definitely here where I am, about the middle of the state, it's, yeah, I can't imagine. And yet somehow there's all these Bigfoot stories and
And
reports on BFRO about it in this area.
oh yeah, and that's what pushes me into being a woo person with Bigfoot, that you could have an undiscovered primate, and in fact I believe that there may be at least one.
Oh, sure.
That I'm thinking of, especially the Orang Pendek, the man of the forest, which allegedly lives in rural Indonesia, in the deep in the rainforest. But even the native people almost never see it. It'd be so remote, you would never see it. If you have all these reports, well, then you'd have so many of them that we'd have one. You know what I mean?
You would
It
think,
seems like a paradox. Yeah. You know?
and we have a little bit more population than rural Indonesia. You know what I'm
Exactly. You
saying?
know, we've had more people killed pretending to be Bigfoot than we have dead Bigfoots. So, you know, what does
Getting
that
your statistics from, Vincent? I haven't came across many of those stories.
you? There's a, well, we've only, I can only think of two people that were killed.
Well, that's two more. That's two more than Bigfoot. So,
Yes,
yeah, you're
exactly.
right.
One was, but they were both guys dressed up in Bigfoot suits.
Yeah, I
And
almost bought one this year.
you are the wrong guy to wear a Bigfoot suit and
Well, the
walk
idea was I would wear a t-shirt over it so they wouldn't
around.
think I was a real Bigfoot, but I'm not confident that it would have been a safe bet, but
Yes, as far as my own UFO stuff, I've had one, and this is going to be the most underwhelming possible follow-up. Once, and people often start their statements by, and let me tell you, I wasn't drinking. Well, I was. Okay, I don't care. I'd had a few. I was, calling it a night, and I was making sure the doors were locked up, and it's my customary practice to open the door and just take a look at the front yard and make sure everything's okay. And I see a light in the sky that I believe, and I wouldn't even question this today, was probably the planet Venus. But circling around it is this little red light. And that makes no sense to me. What could do that? In this was a point of light. This was like somebody had a laser pointer, but laser pointers don't work if there's nothing, no background. And it's like pushing, it's later at night. And I'm looking at what the hell is that? And it looks like a satellite, but satellites move east to west. They move across the sky. They don't circle other things. But this is several years ago, and my son was much younger, and he was still up, and he's like getting scared. And he's like, "Dad, can we just say it was a satellite?" And I said, "Yeah, it was a satellite. We're going to bed." And I just closed the door, locked it up. It was a satellite. Forget about it. Because I didn't want to frighten him. He's still a child. I didn't want to frighten him. But I have no explanation for what the hell that could have been.
I don't have one
And
for you either.
yeah, I mean, I got nothing. It just didn't make any sense. I had one weird other thing that I can't call a UFO because there is an explanation, but it's just such a, the explanation seems so unlikely that that's why I'm even mentioning it. One day I'm driving along in broad daylight, and I'm on a, it's a city street, but it's a four-lane divided highway. And I'm driving, as it happens, past a cemetery, a very large cemetery, and I see a flock of geese flying overhead. And I'm eyes on the road, I'm running some errands, and I notice, gee, geese are usually graceful. They just kind of float along, you get a V of geese, and they're not seemingly, it's not effortful. They're just kind of glide along with the wind, their wings hold them up. And these geese really seem like they're pumping. They're really working to stay up. I'm like, these geese are like, what, they got counter winds or something? I look up. I think I was at a red light, and I look up at the geese, and they're not geese. There are at least a dozen drones. And I went online and, looked for, well, onto Reddit, which is a great source for almost nothing, but it
Entertainment.
sometimes can give you a lead to something,
It absolutely has for me.
and yeah, and asked, are there multiple drones? I said, oh yeah, dude, there's plenty, you can buy that. Yes, you can, but it's not cheap. And
No.
what the hell, I never saw it again, never saw it before, never saw it again. And it just seems so weird.
That is
And
weird.
yeah, why would somebody do that? And it happened to be over this graveyard, and just an odd experience. I
That
would
is
just
odd, man.
put that
Definitely odd.
in the odd.
I spent $18,000 to fly over the cemetery with 30 drones.
Yeah, and it's like you could do that, but what's your motive? And you don't seem to do it very often for the investment, because that's an
There's
area that
lots
I
of
drove
cemeteries.
like all the time. That I drove it daily and never saw it again. So it's like, wow, well, what is this really? Am I just
Who
seeing
knows,
what
man? That's weird.
my mind can accept? Because I think
I thought
that's
about that.
a thing,
I absolutely have thought about that. Especially if it's a perception that it's a physical event, but it's really a non-physical event. Then your mind
Yes.
is filling the gaps.
And I don't consider myself any kind of experiencer, but I think a lot of that is because I grew up too scared of that stuff. And even today, I don't, there's a lot of stuff I don't want to see. You know what I mean? And if you're actively don't want to see something, well, then you might not see it,
Maybe not, yeah.
and you might see something less weird that you can handle. And maybe
Sure,
see
I
it,
definitely
maybe,
agree with that.
maybe see a drone flock.
On the other hand, you've got weirdos like me who would, love to see absolutely anything. And, once every 3 or 4 years, there's, some weird thing. But I don't know. I'd love to see a lot more,
Have I ever mentioned the cryptid sighting?
Yes, you did.
And that was an example of maybe I only saw what my mind could
Yeah,
handle.
no,
Because my
totally
wife
agree
saw
because
a
something
much
totally
more
different.
traditional Bigfoot, and I
Yeah.
saw a bear. Now, it's a weird
Yeah.
looking bear that doesn't exist in nature.
Sure.
But and we, it wasn't scary because it was running away from us, and
Right.
it was non-threatening. And I had the vibe of, holy crap, they can see us. I gotta get out of here. But maybe I saw the bear rather than the hairy hominid because that's all I could handle.
Sure.
That's, I
Yeah,
think
totally
that's the
agree with that.
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, during the whole whistling stuff, when you went in and said, I'm going to bed, did you have any strange dreams?
Not that I recall, man.
No.
My dreams are I will go weeks and weeks without remembering a single dream, and then I'll have like 3 or 4 nights in a row where I have these incredibly just off the wall, bonkers, usually funny. Like I wake up and I'm like, that was just the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. And it'll be like 3 or 4 nights in a row and just incredibly detailed, and I'll remember a lot. But then I'll have another drought spell where I don't have any. And yeah, I've had all kinds of crazy dreams, absolutely crazy dreams. But
That's
not that night that I
interesting.
recall. Not during that period. That would have made sense.
Sometimes I believe that things will communicate with you more easily there than in waking life.
Sure,
I
sure.
think that's the thing that happens. The only time I have ever felt that I had real contact with a dead person was in a dream. And but it's an incredibly intense, it's probably the most intense dream I've ever had. And this person had just died and had died violently. And we made our peace. And we had issues and we made our peace. And that happened in a dream state, but it's 100% real.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that, and I obviously I can't prove this. I don't have a CAT scan, whatever. But I as far as I'm concerned, I know that. I contacted, well, I didn't contact, we met each other and we communicated and he moved on. And that never happened again, but that was a very real experience to me,
Yeah.
and that's, the limits of my experience, but that was enough,
Yeah, I mean, regardless of, how quote unquote real it was, you had the closure
Oh,
regardless of what
yes.
was. You know what I mean? So what
And
it what difference does it make?
in some ways that's the important thing, maybe,
Yeah, yeah.
because I'll never be able to, present a scientific paper that this really was this guy and we really interacted.
Right,
And
right.
maybe possibly it was just a part of my mind that needed to resolve the situation, but that's okay too.
It's resolved, right?
Yes, absolutely. But
So,
it did. It was important. It was changing,
I think of things like that as the like from the movie National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, just to be on theme here, with
Go
the
ahead.
schedule. When he is driving the station wagon, he gets underneath that log truck and then shoots out over that snow embankment and lands in the Christmas tree lot parking lot, and he's like, oh, we made pretty good time. Like, I think of that when someone tells a story like what you just told. It's like, well, like we got there, like what's the big deal? We got what we needed, right? Like, who cares if we drove off the road through a snowbank and ramped, down a hill? Like, who cares? We got what we needed out of it. So
I think you make a very good point. And if I can just circle back to what I was talking about with Star Vance, and her and I did a hypnotic regression at to a past life of mine. And because I'm 100% a believer in reincarnation.
Yes.
And I have distinct memories of a past life. And she took me back to that. But we both agreed beforehand, this is not data collection. You're not going to get verifiable information through hypnosis that you can then, if you believe you drove a Model T Ford in your past life, you're not going to get the license plate. Okay. It doesn't work like
Right.
that. It's not your mind is not a streaming service where you can go to episode 3 of season 2 and
If
watch it. It
only.
doesn't happen like that.
I'd pay good
But
money for that technology.
oh man, yeah. But and that's even in this life, let alone we're going to a
Oh,
past
yeah.
life. You're not going to get specifics,
Oh,
but
yeah.
you can get closure with some things. And I did, and it was well worth it. It was very
Good.
impressive, very intense. But yes,
And I commend you for not saying, I know for a fact this is what happened. You know
oh
what I
no.
mean? Like, a lot of people do that, especially with hypnotic regression. It's so
Oh
easy
yeah.
to corrupt the memory, you know, and even unintentionally.
Oh yes, usually unintentionally, I would say.
Yeah, well, probably. Again,
Yeah.
you're a bit more optimistic than I am with trusting people with power. You know,
But it can be very
but
therapeutic.
absolutely, you know, and again, you got something out of it. So what difference does it make how real it was, right?
Exactly. And if, you know, I don't expect the facts, especially from a, we're even going to a past life, there's, you know, they're not going to be able to give you that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have value. That's,
Yeah, absolutely.
do you mind if I ask your views on reincarnation?
I'm for it, baby. 100%. I align my spiritual side with a lot of similarities to Buddhism, reincarnation, karma. Because I've seen karma play out so many times, both for and against myself. It's hard for me to deny that. And reincarnation to me just, when I was a teenager and I was struggling because I knew I needed some sort of spirituality, I was supposed to have some sort of a spirituality, you know, and I was force-fed the Bible and Christian things as a child, and I hated it. It didn't make sense to me. I thought it was dumb. I would point out things that I disagreed with or things that weren't possible, and you always met with the same arguments that the Lord works in mysterious ways and it's not meant to be literal unless it's a thing that we're literal. There was just,
If
even as a teenager, like I saw through it and I was not satisfied with it. And that's at about 13 or 14. Yeah, go
I don't
ahead.
mean to butt in, but just for 2 seconds, I have a Sunday school story where they were talking about God appointing David king, and then King David cracks down on people who are opposed to him, and I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have kings in America. Didn't we? What do we celebrate in the 4th of July? We got rid of the kings. Kings are bad. Why would that? And what about freedom of speech? What are these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking
Yeah.
against King David. So what? Don't they have freedom of speech? And that didn't
Yeah.
go over well in Sunday school.
I imagine it didn't. No. I
Please go
imagine it
ahead. I'm
didn't.
sorry to interrupt.
Watery tarts distributed in swords is not a basis for government. my python for the win. It's always applicable in life. So, yeah, at around 13 or 14, I decided to try in this incredibly Christian and conservative right-wing community that I live in to try to broaden my horizons, and tried to read things that were over my head a lot, thought I had a grasp on things that I didn't, and didn't really understand everything as much as I would have had I discovered them, in the last 20 years. But landed in the world of Jane Roberts and the Channelings of Seth,
Oh,
which
wow.
led me further down the road to a hypnotist, hypnotherapist, clinical hypnotherapist, doctor who got into past life regression work. And Okay, I can say I think that the books that he wrote with these cases that he presents are, I think that they're true and I believe them. However, I understand there's a very real possibility he made it all up and thought he would get rich selling these books, which I don't think he did. Okay, I
That's
accept
always a
that that
possibility.
possibility is there, right? But so much of what is uncovered tied in with a lot of the teachings from Seth. And well, Seth's all bullshit too. So maybe this guy just read Seth and modeled this whole made up thing. To me, it seems like a lot of unnecessary work for the reward. And I don't think that that's the case. And maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. I'm open. If Jesus appeared right now, Vincent, in my studio, I'd convert, man. I'm not an idiot. Like if I'm presented with the truth, I'm going to, I'll listen to it. But I think that's not exactly always likely to happen.
Well, if it
I've
does, you
made
know
that
what?
offer multiple times. He really wants to save me. All he's got to do is show up in my driveway. We'd shoot him. We'd kill him because he's a left extreme leftist and
Oh, yeah,
socialist.
don't get me started on how the actual Christ would be received these days,
That
because
would
it
be
wouldn't be good.
terrible. So yeah, I started getting into Buddhism after that because of just tying things together and connecting dots, and I just agreed with it. It seemed right to me, and I understand that that's how most people feel about their religion, their spirituality, and I get that. I disagree with yours, and I expect you to disagree with mine, and we can still be friends and talk about things,
Absolutely. And
you know.
that's the right attitude to have. I disagree with everybody about something, and I disagree with myself 5 or 10 years ago.
Oh, dude, yeah. Man, me 10 years ago was a douche. But I'm all right now, I think.
Absolutely. So do you have any specific past life stuff you'd care to talk about or not?
Man, I wish I did. I actually. Yeah. Hold on. The dust jacket on this book has been removed, and I don't know where it is. Apparently, it's also missing the last page and the audio CD that accompanied it. But I bought this book when I was about 26, 27 years old. No, 23 or 24. And it was this, it's called Mirrors of Time by Brian Weiss. And it's a, that came with a CD that was a past life regression hypnosis session on CD, right?
Yes,
But it's
yeah.
also a book about his work and some of the things. And I haven't read it in a long, it's a really little tiny, tiny little book here. Anyway, so I tried multiple times with that CD and I would always end up, it just put me to sleep. And so I wouldn't remember anything. One time though, I did have an experience with it, but I don't know how I feel about it. You know what I mean? But it says like he takes you down the road of, time or whatever, and you're visualizing. He asks, like, look around you, what year do you think it is? And I don't remember what year it was, but I definitely saw the numbers for the year in front of me. And I was like, okay, well, that's different. I haven't done this yet. And then he says, like, look down at your feet and look at your shoes and try to remember exactly what kind of shoes you're wearing. And I looked down and I had wooden clogs on.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, well, when did, like, long after when I, finished with it or whatever, I was like, I wonder when wooden clogs were like popular. And it lined up with the year that I saw. And I obviously didn't know that because I had to look it up.
Yes.
But then also it was after that, it was like, look at your environment that you're in or whatever. And like, there was this cottage by a mountain, and yeah, it's really all I remember about it. But, that's the only real experience I've had with it. So for me to say that I believe that that's what happens is like, if you're being critical of my thinking, I totally agree. Why would you believe that that's what it is? That's what happens to us with that being your only experience with it personally. And I don't know. I guess that's the error of faith, right? We all have that in a way.
Yes, but reincarnation makes so much sense to me on other levels beyond my own personal experience that it just, I can't accept that you get one life and then you got to deal eternally with the consequences. That just seems so incredibly unfair that,
I
no,
totally agree.
I can't buy that one. And I can't buy the atheist alternative that this guy is just a bunch of chemicals and proteins and walks around and he dies and that's the end of the story. I can't prove that's not true, but I don't buy that at all. And if it is, well, then it won't matter anyway, because there won't be anything else. So I
I
can be
totally
wrong
agree.
about that with no consequences. Reincarnation has always made sense to me since I ever heard of it as a kid. It just made so much sense. And I've had some experience. I won't, run out the time on them, but they're pretty consistent. And things that kids say who talk early
I
often
think
are
you've talked about
very
this.
interesting.
Was it your daughter or something that
Oh yes, my daughter
she told me that
said
story?
a bunch of things, including telling my wife her mother, "Well, you're my mother this time, but I was your mother last time." And that's a bold statement for a 1-year-old to make.
Sure it is. Yeah, but anyway, at the end of the day, like I don't claim that I know for a fact that that reincarnation is what happens. I believe that you can't both know and believe something, because believing implies accepting it as the truth without proof, and knowing implies you have proof that this is the way. So you cannot believe in something and know it to be true simultaneously. And I definitely do not know reincarnation to be true, but I do believe it is the truth.
No, I love the way you put that. And that reminds me of John Keel's, saying, which I wouldn't apply to this exactly, but that belief is the enemy. Once you believe something, then you stop looking at other alternatives. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you want some certainty. So I get where you're
I
coming
guess.
from, I think. If you don't mind my asking, you mentioned when you were in the cemetery and you saw the fairy circle, you did some candle magic. Do you follow a particular spiritual path or a practice or
Absolutely
anything?
not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say, that I consider myself a witch, or I consider myself a mountain mystic or a Thelemite or anything like that. Agent of chaos, I guess, because I tend to just, if I'm gonna do any sort of magical working, really going to be an eclectic affair outside of sigil work. I've done a lot of sigil work. Currently, I'm not doing anything. I haven't done anything in a while. I've just been kind of going with the flow. I think people get caught up in, I don't know, trying to micromanage their existence, and I think that's missing the point. You're trying to control every little aspect of your life through some means that seems like it's the quick fix or whatever, and it's either going to work, but it's going to blow up in your face, or it's going to work and you're not going to get out of it what you think, or it's not going to work at all because your intentions aren't there. So on the occasion that I do a magical working, no, I don't follow any specific guidelines. I don't think that I'm going to get myself in trouble here. It was, well, I find a lot of these magical approaches really interesting. I do not believe that you need anything outside of your own mind to accomplish some magical feat. I don't think you need to be part of a group, a coven, or a whatever they congress in. I don't think you need these big ritualistic ceremonies. I don't think you need these things. It's all in how your mind works with reality. What we're really talking about here is affecting the outcome of reality, right? We're not You're not making something out of nothing or whatever. If you do a spell to win the lottery, right? Because money is going to solve all of your problems, then you have to play the lottery. You can't just magically win the lottery. And I think a lot of people want to win the lottery without buying a ticket. Like, you have to buy the ticket, or there's absolutely zero chance that you're going to win the lottery, right? But I think also prayer is definitely a type of magic. You are asking for a change in reality, right? A protection of someone or someone to be healed or, whatever the case may be. I want to have a safe trip, I don't know what people pray to. I haven't prayed in a really long time. But all of these things are magical things, and you don't need to be in a magical secret society to pray to someone. In fact, even the Bible says to pray all alone in your bedroom. You know what I mean? Don't be one of the people praying in the streets trying to get attention. You need to do it in private in your own time. And I think that's because if I'm going to say part of the Bible is true, it's that it's all about your mind space and how well you can focus your intentions to create an observable change in reality. That is magic. And I think that's exactly what prayer is. I think you can, like, I've dabble in sigil magic. I dabble in candle magic. I dabble in a lot of different things, and I've toyed around with different forms of divination. I mean, you have to have just something to bring that focus and that awareness into a big enough light for yourself to see it. And get yourself in a mind space that you can make these changes that are well beyond your personal experience. I think anybody and everybody can do it, and I think we all do it all the time, subconsciously.
I have been making a real effort not to interrupt you because you're saying everything that I believe. So that's why I let you say it. I am not a part of any organization. I was right ready to sign on with the spiritualists. There was actually
I
a
remember that.
spiritualist church in West Allis, Wisconsin. And they've only been there for 100 years, but right when I was about to sign up, they closed permanently. So
Oh, man.
that was not to be. But I don't really think you need the organization either. Now, some people greatly benefit from the organization.
Agreed. I'll
And,
give you that.
it's interesting because all four of my grandparents I got to know, and they were all four every Sunday churchgoers. Two of them were pretty religious. Two of them were just there for the community because they were farmers and they didn't get to see other people all that much. And they made good friendships and things like that. And both of those are important. And some people really get a lot out of the community, really get a lot. And some people get really a lot out of ritual. It can be a good thing for some people. But do I
Sure.
think it's objectively necessary? No, not at all. Not
Not at all.
a bit. That's my take.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything I did and what I accomplished by doing it, but like, I am living proof that you don't need to be in any type of congregation of any sort to accomplish that act of changing reality. And I didn't try to make myself, taller or slimmer or better looking or richer, but things that are
What
definitely
taller part
are
succeeded?
undeniable. Well, I was always told when I was a kid that all the short kids were the good kids because they were always getting their head patted, and all the tall kids were the bad kids because they kept getting their ass kicked. And so figure that one out, right?
You're telling me, man. Jason, we've been talking for a little bit of time, and it has been wonderful. And I
Absolutely
definitely want
wonderful.
to have you back on.
Anytime, man.
I think we should probably wrap it up here just for time.
Sure.
Well, first of all, let everybody know where they can find you, and tell the listeners anything else that you'd like them to know.
Sure. I host Paranormal Patio. It's a podcast. It's sort of, I look at it kind of as an intermediate to beginner level of weird. Sometimes we do get deep in the weeds with things that you might not be familiar with. I try to present it in a way, though, that everybody can at least get something out of it, whether you get the whole thing or not. Don't let that intimidate you. There's fart jokes too. But the new season will be starting relatively soon. I'm editing episodes right now. Not literally right now because I stopped for this interview. But it is in production and it is coming out.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You can find it this year will be on YouTube as well as everywhere you get your podcasts from, except for Apple. It's a personal decision and I never get tired of saying that. I'm not a big fan of the Apple company. And I don't use their services in any way, shape, or form, or buy any of their
Nor
products.
do I, and it's not convenient either.
No, well, it's the price we pay. So yeah, you can find us all on there. I have a new format this year with a guest host and a different change of pace on the show itself. So I'm looking forward to it a lot. It's been a lot of fun to record, and it hasn't even really been that much of a struggle to edit like it usually is when it's just me and someone having a chat on Zoom or whatever. So yeah, find us everywhere. And we also have a Patreon if you're interested in that. I dropped the money down to almost nothing, I think, because I felt like I wasn't doing enough on there. But you will have early access to everything that I put out, and usually by about a week or so. And if you don't want to wait, you can get that. Throw bonus content on there as well. And it's patreon.com/beyondthepatio. See what I did there? It's like, we're in the patio, then you go beyond the patio a little bit. So yeah.
And folks, I can tell you the $3 a month that it costs to be a Patreon, you can't buy a Happy Meal for that.
You really
You can buy
can't.
nothing for that. So it's well worth it. I'm one. You should be one. It's totally worth it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And it totally sincerely meant. I guess we'll wrap it up for here. This has been the weird part. I am your host, Vincent Trewell. My special guest has been Jason Andrews of Paranormal Patio. Thank you for listening, and good night.